Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us today and every day. Right here, we are live on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and Zoom. We'll be live on Facebook in a little bit, just because we love to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. Isn't that something? Now, we don't always have to have a couple minutes of just talking, but right now, I got to make something else happen here for YouTube. So I would encourage you at the beginning of the month, this month, we encouraged you to fast and pray with us that the evil would be turned back in this month. And the word that God gave me was to fast the candy, the Halloween candy. Candy's the hook, and that's been the fast. And so I thank every one of you who have fasted with us. And that seems like it's made a big difference. I think it's pretty awesome that we actually are going to be having snow cover up a major portion of the nation so that all their Halloween costumes and decorations and all that stupidity is covered up, because just before we came live on the program, I was talking with Sister Sunday about it, and the statement that came to me was, it's better to find a way to explain to your children today when they're small why you're not going to partake in Halloween type situations and costumes and all of that stuff, like John Romero said to us. It's a lot easier to explain it to them when they're young and just to create a process that your family will always have than to when they are old, 16 to 20, 13 to 20, whatever it is, to have to begin to pray them out of the clutches of the enemy. People are like, oh, Pastor, you're just taking it to the wrong place. I'm not taking it to the wrong place. As a pastor, I'm sitting here saying to you, I've helped many people throughout my time in the ministry come to the understanding that the problem that they face now as adults is they opened the door to the enemy when they were children and youth. And now it's so pervaded every part of their life, they have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
You can leave that open if you want.
No.
No? I turned the heat down so it might let some of the cool get out there, what I was thinking. We lit a match out there to light a candle, and the whole house, you're sweating. It's so hot in here.
It does not take much to make it really steamy.
Now, you know, some of you are like, I can't imagine living in North Dakota in the winter. What must your heat bill be, like $2,000? Actually, it's
$50. $60.
And this building. Now, you know, there's probably some houses that are a little higher than that, but whoever built this building, build it in a manner that when it's really, really, really cold out there, it stays really nice and warm in here. Now, shows we got 7 people watching us tonight. We encourage each of you to sign in and say hi so we know where you're streaming from. We won't follow you. We won't send you emails and all that stuff. We don't do that. We're just glad to see you here and to be with you. Now, I'm talking about Halloween, and I want to stay on this for a little bit because our title tonight is Now is the Time to Pray. Now, John Ramirez, who was a warlock in charge of a specific geographical location in New York City, very specifically in that question and answer session that we studied, declared to us that during the month of October, the level of wickedness amongst witchcraft goes way up. Now, witchcraft is wicked no matter what, but in this month of October, it goes way up.
It's celebrated.
Rebecca Smith, Tracy McSwain, Dan, Brother Dan Cabo. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Got nine people with us now. Welcome. We're glad to have you with us.
Happy to have you.
If you have been here over the last 2 weeks and you've got a question about something that we've said, something about the war in Israel, end time prophecy, put it in the comments tonight. And we want to do our best to get those questions answered. But I want to talk about prayer from the point of view of always realize as soon as God gives you a prayer assignment, like he gave us about Halloween, get serious with it. Now, many Christians are like, well, Pastor, I just don't have the kind of faith that you have. It's not about faith. It's about obedience. Dr. Jesse Duplantis says that over and over. People say, you just have so much faith. He said, no, I don't have a lot of faith. I just have obedience. I just go do what he tells me to do. And he said, that's the problem with many Christians is they don't go do what God tells them to do. They think what God told them is a good idea. They'd like to do that, but they don't obey to completion. And it's one of the secrets that you and I have. Now, let's use several verses as we talk about this whole situation with Halloween. And then we're going to get to it's time to pray. Because, guys, this whole thing in Israel, I don't know if you can tell if you're watching much of it or not, but the two sides of this battle are coming together. Access of evil, like we had back in World War I and World War II, the access of evil is there. And the allies of good are there. And right now, there's a lot of allies of good that's on the wrong side of the issue, but it's because they've allowed so many of these people to immigrate into their land, and now they don't know what to do because they're in their streets, and they're protesting in their streets. If there's ever a time that you prayed for the United States of America and the world, it is now time to pray. Now, let's go real quick. This is just an introduction while everybody's getting in and getting their seats warmed up. Let's go real quick to Numbers 23:23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Let's go to Numbers 23:23. And we'll kind of hit this as our conversation about Halloween. Now, I want you to think about this story. I told you to think about it, so I stopped to think about it myself.
So there you go.
Yeah. You know, it's not right for the pastor to say, I want you to think about the story and then keep talking, because then you don't get the opportunity to think. All right, let me just look at something here. Well, it's not the plan, but it don't make a difference. I'll do what you say. Here's what we're going to do. You thought I was just having a moment? I was having a moment, and I just was pausing for a moment. I wanted everybody to think.
Oh,
all right, I'm just going to do it. As soon as I said that, why I paused is I heard the Father say, no, just read it. Because I was going to just refer to it, and he just said, no, just read it. But what you're ready to see by this story is, I'm going to paint the picture for you, and then we're going to read it. Israel has left Egypt. A lot. They're a brand new nation now. They're actually a nation. They went from being a slave to a nation in one act of God, one night. One night they went from being absolute slaves to borrowing everything from their neighbors and leaving, not in slavery anymore, they left a nation. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you how quick God can turn something around for you. In one night, 3 million of them went from being slaves to being a nation the whole world here one night. Is it too much for God right now to move on Israel's behalf?
No.
And make every person shake and tremble in fear when they speak against his children? And there's thousands of videos of the Israeli troops singing and dancing. I had one today of them in a church praying, in a synagogue praying. They were all praying together. And when they got done, you could hear them again, again. It's like, well, isn't that interesting? They're in there praying. So here's Israel. I want you to pay attention to this now. Everybody, please. You might think I'm disconnected. There are some who think right now I'm disconnected. No, connect with me in Jesus' name right now. Connect. Connect. Well, let's do it. Let's pray the prayer, and then we'll do it. I was just going to do a slight referral, but this has turned into a whole message that it's time to pray. All right? Here we go. Are you ready? Oh, I got it over here. I'm not having a moment. I was just working.
Okay. All righty.
When it gets quiet on this program, everybody's like, "What's going on?" Pastor never stops talking. What is going on? Let's share the screen. Let's get started. Might as well get started, right? I'm just obeying the Holy Ghost. What do you see?
A whole bunch of stuff.
Are we to the... the flag screen?
Yeah, and then it went back to the home room. Now it's back to you. Oh, you just got to turn your camera on.
There we go. All right. Now, May.
Oh, my.
Oh, here we go. Let's make a pledge to the Christian flag. Ready? Don't worry about technology. It will work sooner or later. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And now, the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, our opening prayer. Pray this with us. If you're new to us, that's wonderful. If you're old to us, that's wonderful. Pray this prayer as a prayer of agreement that all of us are saying the same thing in God. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry. Believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Come on. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. You want to say it? I have a gift.
I have a gift.
And it's got a special grace.
And it has a special grace.
It really does. It really, truly does. Let's do the fivefold ministry. Today is Thursday night. And preachers all over the world are getting ready for Sunday. Let's claim Sunday night as one of the greatest nights for the gospel, Sunday's sermons, for one of the greatest Sundays for the gospel that confronts Halloween, confronts the fears of the world, gets rid of fear, and men of God break the spirit of Jezebel over their congregation. And they stand up boldly to denounce those who are doing wrong to God's children all over the world.
Amen. And Roger, we do see your comments. They're coming through fine.
See your comments, Brother Roger. You're here. You are live and you are in living color, my brother. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then here's what's happened when you get into the Word. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. And now, the greatest force that you and I are ever going to use in prayer is the blood of Jesus. Say this with us. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every victim of terrorism, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert justice and have no regard for life. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of the nations of the world. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. And now, as we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Patriot prayer of dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Should we listen to our new speaker's acceptance speech again? I could just listen to that over and over. I'm so, so excited about this man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you.
For this man of God. Now, here's what we're going to do. Hey, Richard Miller's with us.
He is. Hello. Rebecca, Roger, Dan, Sunday's bouncing all over the place.
Tracy McSwain.
Tracy. Oh, yeah, Tracy.
Yeah. Everybody's here.
So happy to have the family together tonight.
The family is together. All y'all.
Love it.
Thank you. Now watch this. Are we still shared? What's going on?
You are still shared.
There we go. Now here's what we're going to do. Our program title tonight is Now is the Time to Pray. All right. And I was just going to refer to this reference, and the Holy Spirit said, read it. So I'm going to read it. It's Numbers 22, 23, and 24. All right. King Og is defeated by Israel. And now here comes Israel, and they're moving across the desert, and they're headed for the promised land. If you ever watched VeggieTales, we're going to the promised land. All right.
I love it.
This is what I want us to get. Unbeknownst to Israel, Balaam and Balak are up on top of the mountain trying to curse them. Ready? I'm going to get right. Unbeknownst to you and me, in the realm of the spirit, right now in October, curses are being made about us as believers. Hamas, Hezbollah, all that wickedness is run by the spirit of Baal. What do they want? It wants blood. And it wants blood of the prophets. And it wants blood from the believers in God and from God's children. And so unbeknownst to you and I right now, as we live our Christian life, there's curses being thrown at us. And watch what God says against this man who's trying to curse his people. Who's trying to put a curse on you? I don't know. But you and I, what we do here is so powerful that that one time the man come and said one thing about it, you're highly underrated. And we blocked him because he was a witch. But that didn't mean back off. That meant pour the fire to it. If we're underrated, well, then let's get some more power. Think about this verse. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So God said, I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And so I'm going to read this tonight because this is what God thinks about all the curses of the enemy. And this is how much God speaks a blessing every time they speak a curse. And this is why it's so important that you and I stay in the blessing and we stay in the relationship with God and we walk with God and we are one with God. They didn't even realize there was a curse going on. And then in Numbers 23:23, it says, there is no witchcraft against the covenant. But you got to be living in the covenant. Are you ready?
We're ready.
This is Fireside Chat and Reading of the Bible Stories with Pastor Sam. Are you ready? Wait, hold on just a second. I just had this thought a minute ago, and I'm going to carry it out. I want this specifically recorded by itself. This is going to be a good audio to put up.
Yeah.
Of Numbers 23, 23. Or no, Numbers 22, 23, and 24. Here we go. Whoops. All right, here we go. We're almost ready to go. There it is. Numbers chapter 22. This is the beginning of the story. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread. God has the ability to make your enemies sick with dread, circle it, because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab's at the time. He sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth, and they are settling next to me." He was sick with dread. Why? There were 3 million of them. And some scholars believe there may have been as many as 6 million of them. That's a very large multitude to come at you. And when they left, God made them all sit and dwell together very orderly when they stopped and made camp. They were, each tribe had its own region. All the tents were in order. Everything was in order. Everybody had a side of the tabernacle. The priest had their area, and the tabernacle had its area. And so when Balak is up on the mountain looking at him, he's like, these people are not only many, they got their stuff together. Look how orderly they are. Listen, when the enemy sees order, he doesn't think he can beat order. That's why you shouldn't be afraid of order. Order is good. Excellence is good. Religiosity, that ain't good. Doing something just because your mom and pa said to do it for, you know, 70 years now, and you don't have any idea why you're doing it, that's not good. Because you don't know what's behind it. And when you don't know what's behind it, then you don't get the benefit of it if it's good. And you most certainly get the detriment of it if it's not good. People saying, if you throw salt over your left shoulder, then it's going to make the demon spirits not come near your house. Well, there ain't no salt on the face of the earth that's going to make a demon run.
Right.
That's an old wives' tale.
But the demons will see you do it.
Yeah, the demons will see you do it and say, this is a superstitious Christian, so I'm going to go attack them.
Yeah,
I walk under a ladder, break a mirror. Somebody said that to me once. I said, bring me a mirror. I'll break it right here in front of you, and I'm not going to have bad luck. They're like, you just, I'm like, I'm not nothing. I ain't bowing to superstition. Ready? Back to reading. I don't know if you noticed, but I did start preaching just a little.
Amen, Rebecca. That's true, though. Keep your house clean. The enemy likes to disorder and chaos because it's very easy to bring confusion into disorder and chaos.
Amen. Right. There's already disorder and chaos there,
yeah.
And it would go unnoticed. It's time to pray right now. That's the title of this message. You ready? I'm in Numbers 22:6. Please come and curse these people for me, for they're too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. There must have been a part of Balaam that at once was right with God because he blessed and cursed people. All right. The elders of the Moab and Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. He said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you today as the Lord speaks to me. That Lord word is capital. He said, Elohim, when he said it. This is not a little Lord. So the prince of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God said to Balaam, who are these men with you? This is not going to be a good conversation. Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, and you could almost hear God saying, I know what he said. Why did you listen to him? Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I'll be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them, and you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. You want to say it? I am not cursed.
I am blessed. I am blessed.
If you're sitting where you can type it right into the comments. I am not cursed. I am blessed. That coffee cup is so small tonight that I just drained it. How can that be already? Just bring the coffee maker and sit it right here. That's a really good idea from now on. And a jug of water right next to it. And I'll just, anyways, I'm in verse 13. Balaam arose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. The princes of Moab rose and went to Balak, said, Balaam refuses to come with us. They didn't say what God said. They just said what Balaam. They just said the words that he's not coming with us. Now watch. Balak again sent princes, more numerous and more honorable than the ones he sent first, came to Balaam and said, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. I will certainly honor you greatly, and I'll do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come curse this people for me. All right, now he's using money. Now, don't prostitute any part of your life. Do it for money rather than principle. All right, 17, I'll greatly honor you. 18, Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, he just made the statement, the Lord my God. That's a pretty big statement. Watch this. Therefore, please stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. He didn't need to have them stay the night that night. God had already spoken to him and told him what to say, and he should have turned him around and sent him out right there on the spot. God came to Balaam at night and said, if the men come to call you, arise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that shall you do. Welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We're reading right now Numbers 22, 23, and 24, talking about Halloween and Israel, and it's time to pray. It's going to be a good program. Stick around with us. I'm in Numbers 22, 21. Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. The angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Now, don't be dumber than a donkey. Can anybody say amen? Don't be dumber than a donkey. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. This prophet has an anger issue. Don't be a prophet with an anger issue. Don't be anybody with an anger issue.
Amen.
Lost my verse here. This is one of the greatest verses in the whole Bible. Numbers 22:28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said, Balaam, what have I done to you? That you have struck me these three times. Don't you wish that people's donkeys or dogs or cats would talk to them?
Yes.
I mean, it would really help a lot of things if the donkeys and the dogs and cats and horses and guinea pigs and gerbils and fish would talk. People would be like, what's talking? It's the fish, Mom. The fish, yeah. Are you okay, Johnny? Yeah, go listen. What have I done with you? You struck me these three times. Balaam answered the donkey. Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on whom you've ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Carrying on a conversation with his donkey. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eye, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face on the ground. Hey, he might have been a dumb prophet. And he was really dumb for striking his animal. Hey, Chris Timmer, welcome,
hey,
buddy. Mine would say, scoot over, the bed is warmer there. Don't take your donkey to bed with you, Chris. That's not a good idea. Love you, brother. Welcome. Verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Remember, the angels of the Lord are protecting the children of Israel. Now, wait. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there right now. Go with me to Exodus chapter 25.
Rated a good
I know, but you got to get this one. You got to get this one. This is Exodus 25, verse 20. Exodus 25, 20. Welcome, everybody that's with us tonight. Shows have got 10 people watching. We love to have you with us. We're in Deuteronomy, or no, we are studying Numbers 22, 23, and 24. And right now, we've gone back to Exodus chapter 23. What did I say?
20.
Exodus 23, 20. Is that the right reference?
Oh, you said 25, 20.
Yeah, it's 23, 20. Anybody spiritually discerning would have already known to go there. This is what God said to the children of Israel. Wow, I've never seen this till right now. Want to have, what do they call it when you have one of them moments of great revelation? An epiphany. I'm having an epiphany. Right? Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way. That's the angel that's up there where Balaam is, saying, what's your problem, dude? He will bring you to the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him. He will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. If you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries. This is God's promise to his children. And guess what? You am. You am one of them children. 23. My angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites and wipe them out. And the Hittites and wipe them out. And the Perizzites and wipe them out. And the Canaanites and wipe them out. And the Hivites and wipe them out. And the Jebusites and wipe them out. I will cut them off. Wow. 24. Don't bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their work, but you shall utterly overthrow and completely break down their sacred pillars. Look at 25. You shall, don't miss this verse. Some of you need to write this reference down so you can start praying it. You will serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets before you to drive them out. Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite. And I will not drive them out from before you in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. This is God's promise to the children of Israel. And you go now back over here and you can see, here's the angel of the Lord that God sent with the children of Israel. And he's up in the way where Balak's coming and Balaam's coming to curse his people. And he's saying to this man who obviously had prophesied for God and listened to what he said at times in his life. And now he's like, I'm the angel protecting them people. This is what's going on in the background of our lives if we will just walk with God. Hold on. Let's try it again. This is what's going on. Ain't working. Could you find my tablet for me? I have no idea where it is. Thank you. This is what's going on in the background of our lives every day. But we've got to walk with God. And that is his promise to us. He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. I will be to you a father and you will be to me my children. You want to say it with me? God is my father.
God is my father.
And I am his children. I love it. Don't you just love God's blessing on our life? Hold on, I got to get this up. My YouTube's not agreeing with me too much on the computer, and I don't like that, but I've learned that it will agree with me right here on this. There we go. There we go. Everybody, let's pause just a minute. That is a hallelujah celebration right there. Look at there. I can even throw up a few hearts. I am God's child. Now look at what this says. I am back in Numbers 22. And let's go down here. I'm in 22. Where was that? 30?
32.
And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck the donkey? I've come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. And what we just read, that angel's going to go and take care of them people. Amen? 33, the donkey said, saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would also have killed you by now and let her live, because I like the donkey better than I like you.
Yeah.
Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, this is a very interesting story, because you can see it goes back and forth both ways. Verse 36, Numbers 22, 36. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border at the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath-Huzzah. Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. Don't honor this stupid moron. That's what giving them the meat was doing, was honoring them.
Yeah.
41. So it was the next day that Balaam took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. There's a pretty good idea right there. Don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It's Baal. And from there, he might observe the extent of the people. Chapter 23, verse 1. Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. Whatever he shows me, I will tell you. So he went to a desolate height. I want you to realize what's going on here. There's a mixture of Baal and God, righteousness. Balaam evidently knew to sacrifice a bull and a ram on each altar. That was what the children of Israel were told. And he did that. But you know, that's what a familiar spirit will do.
Yeah.
A familiar spirit will tell you to mix. It won't tell you to. It will cause you to mix the world and righteousness. It'll cause you to mix witchcraft and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you are truly a child of God, if you know the truth, the word of God, then the truth will set you free, and your ear will be able to pick up from what is being said. Wait, this is not really right. There's something about this that isn't right. And when you get that, don't be mean to that person. They may not know it, but and the inside of you immediately go to searching in the realm of the spirit, and according to God Almighty, wait, what am I picking up right now in the spirit? Because something inside of me is troubled, and I'm not going to move past a troubling spirit trying to come against me, right? So Balaam is making a sacrifice on the altar of Baal. That's witchcraft and God mixed. Now, this wicked prophet evidently has to obey what God says to say, no matter what, because listen to what he says. And God, and verse 4, I'm in 23:4. God met Balaam and he said to him, I have prepared the 7 altars, and I offered on each altar a bull and a ram. Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. He returned to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle, and he said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. Verse 8.
Wow.
How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. You see what he saw? He saw them as a nation. He's like, this is a nation right down there. I mean, can you imagine these kings? They're watching a nation come at them. They didn't send out their warrior. They brought it all. Then these kings are like, well, we'll fight off some of them, but there's 3 million of them. How are you ever going to fight that many off? Because that king wasn't going to be able to get 3 million of his people all come stand in the valley. It wasn't going to happen. Verse 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. A pretty bold statement.
Yeah.
Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and you have blessed them bountifully. Want to say it with me? I am blessed bountifully by God Almighty. Verse 12, he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? Well, of course, Balak is like, no. But see, Balak serves Baal. So he doesn't know God. Obviously, something about Balaam knew God somehow. He was wicked, but somehow he knew God. It's a very interesting part of the story. But we don't have time for that. Verse 13. Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only the outer part of them and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from over there. Certainly, you can curse them. He brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, built 7 altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. I mean, think about what they're doing. They got quite a crew of them building these altars.
Yeah.
And here we go with 7 more bulls and 7 more rams. There's a whole herd of, there's a whole flock of stuff here. He said to Balak, stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go back to Balak, and thus shall you speak. You see how God's getting this stupid prophet that should never have been there with him to say exactly what he wants him to say. Mm-hmm. Right? 17. So he came to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, and the prince of Moab were with him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? What a moron. He took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie. You may not have known that this is where that verse came from, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? And will he not do it? That's one of the greatest promises that you and I can write down and read and speak every day. Don't write it down in a question, though. This is how I say it out of my confessions. God is not a man that he should lie. He has said it. It will come pass. No question. No question. Has he spoken? Will he not make it good? Verse 20, Numbers 23:20. Behold, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Love, could you give me some more? And heat it up, because it's kind of like the cool air. Like,
oh, okay.
Cooled it down. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. Here's the verse, Numbers 23:23. There is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It must now be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. People rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain in front of it. Naturally, the blood of the slain is actually talking about their enemies. Now, I want you to take a look at this, because 23:23 declares there is no sorcery against Jacob. But you can take the word Jacob out and put the covenant in. You and I are heirs of our father, because Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And because you and I believe God, we are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and his righteousness is imputed into us. Now, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you can, every one of us should be using this verse regularly. There is no witchcraft against the covenant. And you and I are in the covenant. We are actually in the new covenant, and there's no witchcraft against it. Nor is there any divination against Israel. Well, this is a set of verses that we should be saying right now and speaking over Israel. Because God has established Israel as his people, and it doesn't matter whether you like them as his people or not, they will never again ever be destroyed. That's why this is why I'm watching Amir Sarfati's his thread so closely every single day. Why? Because there's no telling what's about to happen. And here's the reality. Something is about to happen, because God is not going to let anyone wipe out Israel ever again another day on this earth. And here we are when they're coming out of Egypt and they're traveling across the desert, and God established it right there. Now, I love this verse. Look at verse 21. He has not observed. Where'd my pen go? I have a pen here. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. Let me ask you a question about this. Did God see any wickedness in Israel as they left Egypt? Mm-hmm. They were murmuring and complaining as soon as they got to the Red Sea and saying, we shouldn't have come out here. But here's the point. You want to say it? What's the point? God was building his people into a nation. Remember what Peter says about us? We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are his own special treasure. Paul said in Corinthians, he will be our God and we will be his own special people. He will be our Father and we will be his children. And yet, God sees you in the point of weakness you're in right now. And when the enemy stands against you, he says, I don't see any wickedness in him. Why does God not see any wickedness in you? Because if you've come to him and you have received him, he made you into his righteousness. And now the rest of your life, you're learning how to bring your mind into submission to this word. And you are renewing your mind and learning the ways of the kingdom and becoming a disciple and becoming transformed and becoming converted. Don't be discouraged in the conversion process when you're converting from the world to the church, when you're converting from sin to who you are now, the righteous. Don't be discouraged. Because God just said about Israel, I don't even see any sin there. And they complained because they didn't have water. And they complained because they didn't have food. This is Numbers chapter 20. Moses has already been to the mountain and got the Ten Commandments and come down and found them dancing naked around the golden calf. So they had sinned a lot. But see, God said, these are my children. And has he spoken it? Therefore, so shall it be. And God said that you and I are blessed through faithful Abraham. And that means right now in your life and in mine, in the midst of what you're trying desperately by the word to change about your life, God looks down from heaven and says, no, they're righteous. I've made you the righteousness. Quit taking them fiery darts from the enemy and claiming them as yours. Amen. Wait, I got the revelation today, don't it? It's just today. Don't you love it when God gives you a new revelation? I love when he gives me a new one, but I don't like it when I've missed the old one. Like, why did I just get this today? I've been telling my eyes, I command you, to receive healing as if my eyes weren't healed. I'm the healed. All this is a fiery dart. That I myself has accepted as though I have some kind of physical ailment in my body that causes me to have to put on magnifiers. No, it's a fiery dart. Remember I've been telling you about that knee situation? It's a fiery dart. It is not real. I'm the healed.
Amen.
Everybody want to say it? Say it with me. I am the healed.
I am the healed.
Come on, type it in. Matter of fact, I'm going to type it in. I am the healed. Watch me. I'm going to do it. I am healed and the healthy. You know me, I can't ever just leave with a few words. And the whole. I have never seen this story right here as a reference to Halloween. But I see it today. I see it today.
I am healed. I am healed. say it.
I am the healed.
Amen.
Think about what God is showing us right here. I've never seen this before. Matter of fact, it's so good, I'm going to take a drink of coffee and just...
I have not ever seen it as a Halloween.
You want to do it? Just cross your arms and just say, Sheila. This is a really good revelation, because in the midst of you becoming the new creation, you already are the new creation. But now you got to bring your mind into subjection to the Word of God. And in the midst of that process, as you are being converted into that disciple, and eventually that epistle that will be read of all men, God sees you as the righteous. And he looks at you and says, no, that fiery dart is not you. Resist it. Resist it.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Don't turn this off. We've lost five people. In the name of Jesus, get your connection back and come back. Do you know where I am, love? I'm so fired up about this. We've got 7 of these to do. How far are we? Number 3? I was just going to read it. Oh, my goodness. Look what time it is. Wow. What is the day? Thursday. Not like we can stay up all night. I'm in Numbers 23:27. Balak said to Balaam, please come, please. You can only imagine. Balaam is now starting to despair. Please come. I'll take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. Balaam to the top of Peor that overlooks the wasteland. Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me 7 bulls and 7 rams. Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on every altar. Chapter 24, verse 1. Verse 1, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery. Folks, that's right in your Bible. He did not go at other times to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Balaam raised his eye and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falls down with his eyes wide open. What's that mean? He went out in the spirit. He fell out. He fell down. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Wait a minute. Let me look at this.
Rebecca, we're in chapter 24, verse 5.
Verse 5? All right. Thank you. Verse 6, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside. Look at this. Like aloes planted by the Lord.
Wow.
We got a word for Israel. They're like aloes planted by the Lord. Like cedars beside the water. He shall pour out water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall arouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. You ready? Say this with me. Anybody in October 2023?
Anybody in October 2023?
That said any kind of curse about me.
That said any kind of curse about me.
That curse comes back on you now.
That curse goes back on you now.
Because God curses those who curse me.
And no weapon
formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
See, when we understand the covenant and we live in the covenant, which means living in the word, and we walk according to this covenant. Don't mind my countryman's talk, but there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing anybody can do. Because you're blessed by God. If you'll get into the covenant, if you will find these verses and begin to speak them till they go down inside and become a revelation to you, you know that there is no witchcraft against the covenant. The covenant. There ain't no witchcraft against the covenant. I'm in 24:10, Numbers 24:10. Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, bountifully bless them three times. Therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord kept back from honor. Well, hallelujah. Who wants to be honored by a demon? Balaam said to Balak, did not I also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond what the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. But the Lord says that I must speak. And now indeed, I'm going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. The only problem is Balaam didn't do right. And we're going to see that in a minute. So he took his servant and he said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, Braden.
Wow.
Hi, Braden. Love you, buddy.
Hi, Braden. We love you.
We love you. It's good to see you tonight. That's awesome. So you know, buddy, we're in Numbers chapter 24, verse number 16. The utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with his eyes wide open. This guy spent some time falling over in the presence. Amen. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of the tumult. You want to know? Somebody look up that word tumult and see if that's the word Hamas in the Strong's Concordance. 18. Edom shall be a possession. Seir also. his enemies shall be a possession. While Israel does valiantly, out of Jacob one shall have dominion and destroy the remains of the city. Now, verse number 17 is a prophecy of Jesus coming. A star shall come out of Jacob. What did the wise men see? They saw a star in the east, and the wise men followed the star. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Of his kingdom there shall be no end, to order it and establish it. This is a prophecy. Man, this is powerful. Verse 20. I'm in Numbers 24:20. Took up his oracle and said, listen, Balak has Balaam on top of the mountain where he can see for miles. Right? So now God's saying, hey, and while you're at it, why don't you curse Amalek too? So here goes Balaam. Amalek was the first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes. Then he looked on the Kenites, and he took up his oracle and said, firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned. How long will Asher? How long until Asher carries you away captive? Then he took up his oracle and he said, alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from the coast of Cyprus, and they shall afflict Asher and afflict Eber, and so shall Amalek until he perishes. So Balaam rose and departed to his place. Balak also went his way. Now, watch this. Go with me to the book of Jude. Hold your place there. Hold your place in Numbers 25. And let's go to the book of Jude.
Noise and confusion, violent agitation, the act of making noisy disturbance.
What was the verse? Numbers?
Verse 17.
So it's not the word Hamas?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said that because that's very interesting, because that's exactly what's going on right now. 24:17.
Yeah.
That's not 24:17.
English to Greek translation.
All the sons of the tumult. Well, there's a reason why I was looking it up. All this and destroy all the children of Sheth is the word that we're looking for. And that's Sheth, and that is not the word Hamas. But ours says the sons of tumult, which is very interesting that they put all of those together and called them tumult, which I was just thinking might have been actually the word Hamas.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're dealing with right now around the world. Because that word Hamas is actually in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Now, where did I tell you to go? Oh, the book of Jude. Go with me to the book of Jude, because Balaam actually makes it with all of his stupidity into the book of Jude. All right? And we got to see this, because God gives a very specific warning to him. Jude 1. And it's only one chapter in Jude. Let's go down to let's go down to verse 5 through 11. Jude 5 through 11. Jude 1, 5 through 11. Watch this. I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroys those who did not believe. Remember what it says in Hebrews 3 and 4, that they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. They didn't mix the word with faith. What is the mixer of the word with faith? Is your tongue. When you take the word off the page and speak it on your tongue, you're mixing the word with faith when you speak it into the situations of your life. That's the mixer. You want to say it? My tongue is the mixer. Verse 6. I'm in Jude 6. Jude verse 6. Angels did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting chains unto darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to those, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers shall defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. That's why I say to you all the time, don't get involved with this group of people on the internet that are just continually tearing down preachers and telling you how much you must stand against these preachers. These people do not have permission by God to do that and create these sites. These people are going to be destroyed, and they're going to take a lot of people to hell with them, and you just cannot be a part of that in any sense of the word. God bless everybody. I'm going to bed. All right. Well, we love you, buddy. We call you blessed, and we declare you sleep wonderfully. Deep sleep comes upon you, and God gives you visions and dreams of your future, so that you will always walk with God every day of your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Did you already call Dad and say prayers?
Call your dad and say prayers. Here we go. I'm back in verse 8. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. These speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Wow. Yeah, you do have school in the morning. Verse 11, woe to them, look at this, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. See, this is why we tell you, don't mix Christianity and witchcraft. Don't mix it. That's what Balak did. That's what Balaam and Balak just did in front of your eyes. They mixed Christianity. Now, God spoke in the middle of that wicked prophet because Balaam actually taught Balak how to destroy Israel. He told them, pervert their sons with your daughters. Now let's go. Let me give you a couple. I'm going to give you two more verses on this. Man, this is, what a night. Our window froze open. The window froze open.
Yeah.
There, I'll get it. I'll get it. Don't mind us. We're just opening and closing the windows. I want you to see this. 2 Peter 2:15. You might be looking at this saying, what in the world is going on here tonight, Pastor? There is a really great revelation happening right now tonight in this program about Halloween and about you and I living in the ways of God and the things of God. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Peter 2, 15. Watch this. Man, this is amazing. This is amazing. Verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. After Balaam prophesied all of those beautiful things because God used his lips, Balaam went astray because he loved the wages. Keep reading, verse 16. He was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Some of you didn't even know that was in the New Testament. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The way of Balaam. Wow. Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2, and let's go to verse number 12. Wow, this is really powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You might have to say, Pastor, I'm not getting what you're seeing tonight. That's okay. Ask him questions. Most of all, don't go in the way of Balaam. Don't go that way.
Love you, Chris. Have a good day.
Bless you, Chris. God bless you, man. Be strong. It's just interesting how this is working out. Don't you just love it when we just follow the Holy Spirit and he's like, bam, and there's this amazing revelation. Here it is.
Where are we at now? Revelation what?
We're in Revelation chapter 2. Yeah, there you go. Revelation chapter 2. you just got to love all the folks. 2:12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. So that would be Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus is the one with the two-edged sword. It's the word of God. He is the living word. 13. Look at what this says. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Keep reading. Verse 14. I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. That's a demon. Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I'll give him a white stone, on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives him. Now watch this. There's a whole lot in this.
Mm-hmm.
We are unpacking a revelation tonight. Oh, geez. Can you get me a charger? I'm just needy tonight once I got started. Just a regular charger, the one out there by the door. Now watch this. Wow. I'm getting ready to say something that is probably not going to go over too well. But it'll be all right.
There you go.
All right. I'm getting ready to say something you may not like. But we better say it. Just pausing for a minute. I'm thinking this through and I'm letting it get all the way through because I started this out tonight to just say there is no witchcraft against the covenant. So we're going to add to our title tonight and put in their numbers 22 through 24, you know. But look at this verse. This is Revelation 2:14. I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Now, if you go back to Numbers chapter 25, you'll notice that the title of Numbers 25 is, chapters 25, is Israel's idolatry with Moab. So what did Balaam teach Balak? Balaam said, send your daughters down into Israel's camp and have them sleep with and marry the boys. And the perversion will cause God to be angry with them. And that's what happened. And I want to say this about Halloween. And you may get angry. It's okay. It's okay. But you get angry. But do you know whether or not all of this candy that's at Walmart with all the Halloween stuff all over it, do you know whether or not that's been offered before an idol? Well, Pastor, We don't know anything about the candy we eat. We just bless it and we don't worry about it. Okay. And I'll give you that because Paul said if you go to eat at somebody's house and put meat before you that's been offered to an idol and you don't know it, just bless it. I agree with the fact of blessing it. But what did John Ramirez say? The candy is the hook.
One of them.
The candy is the hook. How are you gonna help your kids get free of witchcraft when they're teenagers if you baptize them in it when they're young? I know. That's why I said some people might get angry. You're like, my goodness sakes, Pastor, I didn't do right with by my kids. I celebrated Halloween enough. Well, that's the glory of the cross of Christ, because we can put the blood of Jesus on everything we ever did, and we can nullify its effect. But the sincerity of this message, the seriousness of this message is stop going the way of Balaam. Stop going the way of Balak. Stop allowing yourself just to wander in the paths of everything the world is doing, and begin to look at it and say, I oppose these steps of the enemy. You have to. Pastor, am I going to go to hell if I eat a package of candy that has a Halloween thing on it? No, you're not going to go to hell. But the idea is, there comes a point where you got to say, wait, that's darkness and I'm light. I won't have any part of darkness in my life. People probably don't want me to say I pray for this. No, this is exactly what I prayed for.
You did on the program.
I did it right here on this program. I prayed for the snow. And here it is. And May, October 30 and 31st, we have another one. And nobody will be able to move. Why? Because you don't get to destroy by wickedness that which the blood of Jesus has already provided. And this is going against the covenant of our Constitution of who we are, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is a righteous nation. This is not a wicked, perverse nation. Lady Liberty and Uncle Sam are not dirty. People who are in this nation are dirty. But our founding mother and father, they're not dirty. They're pure. They're holy. They're righteous. Some people have said to me, don't you think you're taking this a little bit too far? I'm not. What? You want to mix a little bit of the world in with your righteousness and then think it's going to turn out right for you? See, that's what Jude is saying. That's what the whole book of Jude is saying to us. Don't mix. Now, back to the beginning of this program tonight, when I was just going to refer to Numbers 23:23 that says there is no witchcraft against the covenant. You and I can rest assured that while we are living our Christian life, if there's somebody out here somewhere of wickedness that's throwing a curse on us, as we walk in God, God is going to turn that curse around and send it back at them. God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. I'm not sitting here tonight all worried and concerned about whether witchcraft has come against me. It doesn't matter. If you throw a curse at me, that curse is going to come back at you a hundredfold return, because I get a hundredfold return blessing from God from walking with God. But guess what? They're going to get a hundredfold, because that's what they're sowing, is the curse. I don't ever remember hearing stories of witches and warlocks, because I just don't listen to that kind of stuff. But I'm really glad I listened to John Ramirez say that when Nikki Cruz came and stood on the corner outside of his house and he threw a curse at him, it hit him so hard in the chest, he thought he had a heart attack. Hello? That's how stupid it is to be on that side. Tonight with Revelation going, wow, that is absolutely amazing. Because you can see the picture. Here's Israel moving out, becoming a nation in God. They don't know. They just took on Sion and Og and whipped them. Like, well, check that out. And we did get water out of the rock, and he did split the Red Sea. And all that group over there, they're a bunch of thumbsuckers, but I ain't going to be a part of them. And now they're on the other side of the river from Jericho, looking at Jericho going, that's where we're headed. That's the promised land. Right across there is the promised land. You and I are looking at our promised land, and you've got to realize every day the enemy is going to do something to try to bring a distraction against you. You don't have to worry about his distractions. You got to worry. You got to live. Don't be worried. You got to live in the blessing of the word. If you live every day in this covenant, if you live every day in this covenant and are mixing it with your tongue, which means you've got to speak it out loud, then it doesn't matter what comes against you. It's going to hit the covenant every time it's there, and it's going to bounce back at him. And if you and I live in praise and honor and glory enough with God Almighty, then that enemy will say, we better leave them guys alone, because every time we throw something at it, it comes back and it hits us. You want to speak it over your city right now? I declare over my city. Say it with me.
I declare over my city.
That all of the prayers of the saints.
That all of the prayers of the saints.
Are gathered together right now.
Are gathered together right now.
And they are, let's see, hold on, what's my word? They are hurled at the enemy.
They are hurled at the enemy.
And they totally eliminate their effect.
And they totally eliminate
the effect of the enemy.
The
effect of the enemy. On this. In Jesus' mighty name. What do? We just gathered all the prayers of the saints. It's an act of faith. Do you know everybody praying in your community? I don't either. But I know this. There are many people praying in this community. There's people praying in every community that says, God, I don't know you, but I want to know you. Will you please reveal yourself to me? Well, God takes all of those prayers together when we gather them together, and the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much and is dynamic and is working. Well, let's look at two more verses. Ezekiel. No, hold on. Jesus, help me. I don't know if you can tell, but I got about five things that are all going on right at the same time. This is why in the book of Jude, it says, but you beloved. After Jude just said all of this did about all these people that went astray, then he said, but you beloved. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you want to live in great faith? Do you want to walk in great power? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says. I'm in Jude 20. I didn't leave Jude. We'll get to Ezekiel in a minute, evidently. Here in the book of Jude, Jude lays out all these people that rebelled and did wrong. And then he said in verse 20, but you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues, it's not just faith, it is most holy faith. Now, we read these verses regularly here at the end of our program on purpose. I read it on purpose so that we get these verses inside of us. build yourself up. Get it. Point at yourself and say it. In my most holy faith.
In my most holy faith.
Praying in the Holy Spirit. You do it. You build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. Verse 21. You will keep yourself in the love of God. You will always be looking for his mercy, not only for your life, but for the lives of others, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what praying in the Spirit is going to cause you to do. What? The works of the flesh are going to cause you to want to fight, want to say stuff, want to strike back, want to get revenge. But the work of the Spirit, will cause you to live. It will cause you to live in the Spirit and in your most holy faith.
Love you, Rebecca. Good night.
It'll cause you to live in your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Spirit. I love this. Think about this. You might say, Pastor, I still don't pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, that might be. Have you stopped asking God to bless you with the gift? Never stop asking him to bless you.
Yeah.
Never. Don't stop until you are experiencing the life of the Spirit and have the ability to pray in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's no one on the face of this earth who has ever desired for God to fill them that he didn't fill them. Everybody, he's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask. Then what is my problem? I can hear somebody saying, then what is my problem? Is you think you have a problem. Live in, I am filled with the Spirit and I have my heavenly language. Pastor, I've said that so many times. Here's the problem. You think there's a point where you should stop before you're actually filled. Thank you, Jesus, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and my heavenly prayer language. Pastor, I've said it for years. Did you say it and mean it? Or on the inside, did you say, thank you, Jesus, for filling me with the Holy Spirit, but I probably won't get it because that's just for special people? Because he's promised that he's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask. And if you can say with all surety and confidence, I'm filled with the Spirit, then you can also say with all surety and confidence, I have my heavenly prayer language. Now, what a night. Are you going to close? How do we close this? You don't end it, you just close it. I want to go to Ezekiel. I think it's Ezekiel. Isn't that so? I look for this verse and then I think it's Ezekiel 36 every time I come here. It's the verse that says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up a hedge. 22:30. It would just be easier, Father, if you just move that to Ezekiel 36 or 20. Watch this. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. Do you remember the wall? Rebuilding the walls of righteousness. That's what our program is called, because that's the wall that's got to be built. We got to build the wall of righteousness. Who would make a wall? Who would stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it? But I found no one. You ready? Say it with me. You found me, Father.
You found me, Father.
I will stand in the gap. And I will make up the hedge. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to deal right now with what Brother Richard just said here on this. Now, everybody just lift your hand in kind of the toward Washington, D.C. motion. Because Brother Richard's over there by Washington, D.C. I want you to say this with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We speak over our brother that no weapon formed against you.
No weapon formed against
has
you.
Any ability to prosper.
Has any ability to prosper.
Now, I want you to take your hands. Everybody look. I want you to take your hands like this, as if you were breaking the bands off that have been wrapped around his head. Pull them off. Say it with me. I break those bands.
I break those bands.
It's not a vice grip.
It is not a vice grip.
It is not any kind of bands. And we declare never come back.
And we declare never come back.
Never come back in the name of Jesus.
Never come back in the name of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And by the holy word of God.
And by the holy word of God.
You ready? Get bold. Say, it's a fiery dart.
It's a fiery dart.
That is manifesting physically. And we rebuke you and we condemn you now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Never return to our brother another day in Jesus' mighty name. If any of you are having those headaches that turns out like that, I want to encourage you that number one, don't look to expect it every day to come, because most people, that's what happens, is they live a certain part of the day and they're like, wow, that's not even here. I wonder when it's going to hit me. Don't do that. Don't ever say that again. Just wake up and live in the glory of God every day. I thank you that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me, and Jesus lives inside of me, and God lives inside of me. And there ain't no demon anywhere on this earth that's big enough to put a band around Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit. Therefore, since I am filled with the Spirit of God and I am a child of God, that means none of this stuff has the ability to stick to my life. It's like these magnifiers. Just put your fingers on your eyes and say, not another day.
Will I ever have any blurriness?
My eyes function properly.
My eyes function properly.
They focus in and out.
As
a brand new, as a teenager. What do you call it? 2020
vision. It's 2020 vision.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Moses was 120 years old. And his eyesight hadn't dimmed, and his natural strength had not abated. Now, guys, we have the ability on the inside of us to stand against this enemy and know this enemy does not win.
Amen.
We love you, Richard. Any of you, anyone else, listen to this program down the road, and you're someone that feels that band tightening around your head, just begin to make the declaration. I'm going to keep taking these off because I'm not wearing. Keep making the declaration. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of this mortal body. Therefore, no physical ailment process has any ability to come upon me. That's how we fight against this, in the name of Jesus. Now, goodness sakes, what a night. Look what time it is.
I know.
Hold on. I feel another preach coming on. Roger's getting ready to say four more hours. So I just need to take a cup of drink of coffee, and then it'll settle me down a little bit. Somewhere, I have put away Sister Mary Pastorick's coffee cup warmer. And I'm going to have to get it out because my coffee has gone cold every single time tonight. It's all right. It's all right.
Oh, it's
okay. It'll be okay. Now, I'm going to do one more thing. I'll put that verse up right now. Romans chapter 11. No. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. It's got 203 characters in it, and we got to get it down under 200, right? Is that how it is for YouTube?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And we're going to take the but if off it, and we're going to put since. Ready? Since. Whoops. Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Now we're going to make it personal. Me. He who raised Christ from the dead also gives life gives life to my mortal body. My mortal bodies. I've only got one. Through his spirit who dwells in me. I have now made that verse personal to you. And I want you to copy and paste that. And I want you to put it in your notes. And I want you to live in this verse every single day of your life. I want you to live in this verse every single day of your life. Let's throw a couple 100s up in there. And let's throw a couple more hearts up in there. I enjoy those things. Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Make it personal. He who raised Christ from the dead in hell also gives life to my mortal body through his spirit who dwells in me.
Amen.
Who dwells in me? Wow. What a night. I encourage you every day to live in those verses. Let me just do this. Numbers 23:23, Isaiah 54:17, and Romans Romans 8:11, and then Ephesians 3:18 through 22. There's a 21. Live in these verses every day. From now through the rest of this month, this is the 26th, so we got 5 days left. Live in these verses every single day. There is no witchcraft against the covenant. Thank you, Jesus. I'm covered by the covenant. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And I love not my life right unto the death. Live in those verses about the blood of Jesus. Because what happens when you do, you get to walk in great strength and victory. And, you know, like Brother Richard says about this, we've talked on the phone several times this week as he's been driving and I've been driving at night. Every single one of us are at a point in our life where we're building spiritual strength. Watch this. Right out here, I've got a set of dumbbells, the small ones, not the barbell, but the small ones. And I use that to keep my strength up. When you continually fight the same battle like this, it's God causing you to build strength. Let me say that differently. The attack comes from the enemy. God, in the middle of the attack, causes you to build such supernatural strength that you now become a voice against what that attack was. The enemy says, I'm going to hit you with this, hit you with this, hit you with this, hit you with this. Well, guess what that means? You will become a voice that will crush that. So don't stop until you get that crushing power on the inside of you. You fight that thing and fight that thing and fight it and fight it. And you speak the word of God and you live in Revelation 10 and 11. And you live in Romans 8, verse 11, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Why? Because all of a sudden what happens to you is you become a force in the realm of the spirit, in that area or those areas, and anytime the enemy stands up around you, anywhere in anybody, you like, I know how to crush that. Come here. Amen. In the name of Jesus, get him! And that demon runs like a whip pup. I. And off it goes. Let's say it again, what Brother Hagin said. Jesus showed up in Brother Hagin's church. Jesus himself showed up. like Paul, I heard Brother Hagin say once, was it whether he was in the spirit or not, he said, I know this, I saw him with my two eyes and it looked like he was sitting right there in the church with me. And he said, this time when he showed up, he said he was talking to me about gifts of the spirit, but in between us came this little demon, looked like a monkey. And he said, every time Jesus would start to speak, the demon would go, yeah. And he said, Brother Hagin said, I thought, why isn't Jesus dealing with that demon? And he said, I finally got tired of it and said, shut up, get out of here. And he said, like a whoop pup, that monkey went down the aisle, out the door, and never came back. And he said to Jesus, he said, can I ask you a question? Why didn't you deal with that demon? He said, it's not my place to deal with it, it's yours. If you hadn't dealt with it and told it to go, I couldn't, because it's in your authority realm, not mine. Tell it to go. Don't argue with it. Don't tell it all these different things. Just go, and then go right back to living in the covenant. Thank you, Jesus. I'm covered by your blood. Thank you, I have the Holy Spirit. And just begin to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I worship you. Sing the songs about the blood. Because the enemy can't stay where the blood of Jesus is the number one focus. He can't stay there. He can't stay. because he has no power against the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Is this my fifth close or sixth? Father, in Jesus' name. What an amazing revelation tonight. What an amazing revelation. We live in it. We dwell in it. We glorify your name, Jesus. We glorify your name. Thank you. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives every day. Thank you, Jesus. Help every one of us to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. To never again another day ever give in to a condemning, belittling, demoralizing spirit another day. Thank you that we don't have to worry about it. We just have to live in the blessing and live in the wonderful things of God every day. We give you glory and we give you the honor. And we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. This is another reason why every time we come here, we do communion. This is why. Because if we live in his broken body and in his blood shed, enemy cannot touch us. He cannot touch us. Whatever a man sows, that he's also going to reap. Whoops. I always like to get my Bible out because I like to have my hands on my Bible. But I also want you to be able to see this. So let's pull up our verses here. And we will share this with you. There we go. And now, these are the communion verses. This is how it works here. I'll read these verses. You can read it right out loud with me there at your house. And I encourage you to get you some communion elements, get you some bread and water. Jesus said the fruit of the vine and bread. And you can receive communion with us. It doesn't matter who you are, what church you belong to. If you belong to Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, then you belong in the kingdom of God. And you are now a part of, you are literally part of the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to understand it. You don't even have to understand it. And you're a part of the body of Christ. Here we go. Read this right out loud. This is out of 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And now we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, all the different terms people use, I would encourage you to pray this prayer with us tonight. If you have already done all that, pray it again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You ready? Pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me, so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life, all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. You'll see on your screen the welcome to the family of God. Last night we turned the words almost red. We were trying to get them red, but they didn't turn red. The salvation instructor. This is what just happened in your life. I encourage you to take a screenshot right now. That's got my email address, my website, the website for all of our work there. And the verses, I encourage you. Darkness just turned to light. Fear just turned to faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you have become an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. You might say, Pastor, how did all of that happen right there, right then? If you spoke that prayer in faith, you are experiencing that transformation happening right now on the inside of you. Why? Because all God needs is for you to open the door a little crack and say, would you like to come in? And he comes in with everything he is and fills you with who he is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be found in him. You need a church family like us. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and be connected to us. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Zoom. We're actually already on Rumble and Blog Talk Radio. We actually have on Rumble, I think we're at about 250 videos on Rumble. So if you're on Rumble, go by and see us. Leave us some comments over there. That'll be a cool thing. Thank you for being a part of that. Jesus' mighty name. As of yet, we're not live on Rumble. I'm not quite sure how to make that happen, but God's helping us as we go. We have a really good program called Read the Word, and I would encourage you to get yourself connected to that, because that is where we read through the Word of God last year from Genesis to Revelation. We did it chronologically, and it really turned into a very powerful, powerful process of discipleship. Even. And I encourage you to be a part of it. And any of you that say, Pastor, I'd like to help somebody like you, well, get connected with me, and let's get you helping us do the work of God. Because we got stuff that we can have you do. And it's going to cause you to grow and develop in God. But more than that, in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. We're going to now bless these elements. Are you ready? We're going to receive the bread first, and then we'll receive the juice. Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, and my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, and the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you opened up the body and made a way for us to be a part of it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, pray this with me. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word and remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price
and
righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, and my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing our song. I really want to sing that song of Charity Gales, but I just don't know it good enough to sing it yet. So let's sing one of our other songs, The Blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, here we go. Job 33. I'm telling you, I see this set of verses in everything that God taught us. It's all through the whole Bible. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. I don't like it when that happens. In a dream, in a vision of the night, while slumbering on their bed, when deep sleep falls on you. Say this, I sleep deep. Amen. Then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction within them in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and God will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man the years of his righteousness. You want to say it? Restore to me the years of righteousness in my life. Until we see you again, right here, tomorrow morning, at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. This is what we have to say. You're going to want to listen to this one again, because there was a lot of great revelation in this message tonight. We see you again. We say, we love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. And God bless Israel as they wake up this morning. Right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. See you soon. Lord, why are you so sleepy?
I don't know.
I know. I was afraid you'd get... I was not afraid. I am not afraid.